this church.
Thank you. 110 years. Almost sounds like a record or something. If my mother were alive, she would be 110. She was born May 5th, 1907. She died 7 years ago. On her birthday, 103, I went down to her birthday. We were in Kamloops. My brother in Terrace and my brother in California said, "Look, Mom's never going to die. We're not coming up for her 103rd. We came up for our 100th, 101, 102. No, we're not coming up this time. So I went into the nursing home that she was in, and I said, "Well, happy birthday, Mom. What's happening today?" And she said, "Well, you know what? You're taking me to the Bella Vita, and I'm having filet mignon for dinner." And that's what we did. She was sharp right till the end. Good to be in Armstrong. We go back a number of years, came here in 1974 and then left in 1981. It was great. Thank you again, worship team, wherever you are scattered around. I knew everything you sang. It was so well done. But also the one song that you led us in was the last song I sang when I was here in 1981. It was a farewell song, "I Don't Know About Tomorrow." That was great. So lovely. Thank you again for leading us. And you know, after you have been blessed, enriched by music like that, then you have to listen to somebody speak. You know, it's almost anticlimactic. So I'll try to pick up. Yesterday was a big day for Canada. How many of you sang "O Canada" yesterday? Many of you. Yeah. Or how many of you heard it sung? Most of us. Interesting national anthem, isn't it? Do you know who wrote "O Canada"? Do you know when it was written? It's actually had several adjustments to it. It actually was first written in Quebec, French. And it is still the original in the French, 1880, when it was written. Then it was translated into English, and in 1906, I believe it was Stephen Weir, who translated it into English. Okay, so the first time "O Canada" was sung was in June 7th, 1880. It became a national anthem in what year? 1980, July 1st. Is that interesting? Because before that, "God Save the Queen" was our national anthem. Trivia. What's really fascinating about it is that the fellow who wrote "O Canada" in English, there's several stanzas to it. Actually, there's four stanzas. We seldom ever sing the last stanza. Well, I got to get through the French first of all, then get to the English. The Weir version, here we are. "Ruler supreme, who hearest humblest prayer, hold our dominion within thy loving care. Help us to find, O God, in thee, a lasting rich reward, as waiting for the better day we ever stand on guard for thee." Our national anthem could really be sung as a hymn in our churches because it focuses upon God. I hope our country will continue to do so, but it's frightening, isn't it, where we're going? So what is the motto of Canada? You know, the standard. And I'm really putting you to the test this morning. Anybody know the Latin? Ooh, okay. Give me the English. He shall have dominion from sea to sea. That's right. Pardon me, but I had to look all this up, so I have the answers. You know, it's great when you have the answer sheet. Amare usque ad mar. That's the Latin. He shall have dominion from sea to sea. And that phrase is actually taken from Psalm 72, verse 8. He shall have dominion from sea to sea and from river unto the ends of the earth. That verse was impressed upon the fathers of Confederation with such diligence that they said, that's what we want as our motto for a nation. Isn't that great to have that motto for our nation? When you look back 150 years, we look back upon our country and we say, what was it built upon? The foundation was the Word of God. And this year, we celebrated 150 years as a nation. 6 weeks ago, my wife and I were involved in another anniversary, at Burnett, actually, our 80th. And we were asked to put together a program for the 80th. And for Ernie Dakin, Ernie and Judy Dakin and April and I, we put together, we were supposed to do a 1 hour of fun time together and reminiscing about the past and looking at our history. And what we did, we looked at the past, we examined the present, and then we looked into the future, what the future would look like. And we celebrated what God had done. As a nation, we celebrated 150 years. At Burnett, we celebrated 80 years. I thought somebody was behind me. And here today, we are celebrating 110 years. So why celebrate? Do you have PowerPoint? Sorry. Did you put up the other two, three? Would you mind doing that? Sorry, I forgot all about them. They were supposed to be what I was talking about, Canada, and giving you all that. I just thought they were nice pictures. That's who we are, Canada. Next. Beautiful flag, sunset, and then these are our provinces and the territories. How many, anybody here been to every province and territory? You're thinking about it. None of it? Tuktoyaktuk? No. Okay. Anyways, that's our nation. So why celebrate? We celebrate because God wants us to celebrate. Maybe I'll give this to my wife so I don't forget it. Oh, the sound's still on too, so you might want to turn it off. I think she did something. Back in the Old Testament, there's a word for celebrate in the Old Testament, and it is a Hebrew word called Hallel. H-A-W-L-E-L. Hallel. Now, that word celebrate in the Old Testament is used no less than 165 times. So, celebrating was something that God wanted us to do. And there was rationale for it. Because it's an anniversary service and so on, the message is very topical and I've taken several verses. But basically, the gist of it comes from Leviticus 25. And some might say, Leviticus 25 for an anniversary service. And the Lord spoke to Moses on Mount Sinai, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land which I give you, then the land shall keep a Sabbath to the Lord. 6 days shall you sow your field, and 6 years you shall prune your vineyard and gather its fruit. But in the seventh year there shall be a Sabbath of solemn rest for the land, a Sabbath to the Lord. You shall neither sow your field nor prune your vineyard. What grows of its own accord of your harvest you shall not reap, nor gather the grapes of your untended vine, for it is a year of rest for the land. And the Sabbath produce of the land shall be food for you, your male and female servants, your hired man, and the stranger who dwells with you, for your livestock and the beasts that are in your land, and all its produce shall be for food. Now, I could go ahead and read the 55 verses that are in that chapter, but I'll just pick things out of them. In this chapter, God sets down some standards for Israel. He said, this is what I want you to do. You're entering the promised land, the land that I am giving to you. And this is exactly what I want you to do. I want you to go in and I want you to enjoy the land for 6 years. Take the produce, sell it, make money, get gain, all the rest of that. But the seventh year, I don't want you to touch the land. There is to be no pruning. There is to be no planting. And there is to be no selling. In that seventh year, all you can do is take the fruit that's on the vine or the figs off the tree or the fruit off the trees or the grain off the ground, that which is volunteers, and just use it for your sustenance. You are not to pick any of it and sell it, because the seventh year is holy unto the Lord. Just as he said, 6 days God created the earth, and the seventh he rested. And God says here, I want you to rest the seventh year, and I want you to reflect upon the past 6 years of what God has done. Now, in Leviticus chapter 25, he says, now, here's a second instruction. I want you, after seven sevens, okay? So seven sevens make what? 49. By the way, it's very fascinating that this church was established 07, 07, 07. Isn't that great? Seven is perfection, completeness. Who could have devised that? 11 years ago, Don Reeve phoned me and said, Bruce, would you please come up and speak at our 100th anniversary? And I said, well, when is it? And he told me, I said, Don, I can't do it. He said, Bruce, look, I'm giving you a year's warning in advance. Why can you say that you can't do it? I said, because our son is getting married that day. And he said, oh. I guess that's a good excuse. So I missed your 100th anniversary, and it's all my son's fault. He got married 07, 07, 07. What's even fascinating, this is for free, they had their first child 08, 08, 08. So God comes and says, these are the instructions that I have for you. Seven sevens. So in the seventh year, you rest. All the food, all the vines, all the trees, all the grain is to rest for a year. Then I want you to take another year to rest. And that year is going to be called Jubilee. So every 50th year, they were not to take anything off the land, out of the crops, out of the vineyards, or anything, and sell it. So 2 years, and the Lord even instructs them in the passage. He says, I'm going to give you enough in year number six to provide for you in year number seven and eight. And so it's interesting as you look at Leviticus chapter 25 and what God is saying to Israel. He says, because in that 50th year, the year of Jubilee, I want you to celebrate. I want you just to rest, to reflect upon the past 50 years. And I want you to rehearse with your children and your children's children what I have done for you. Now, it's very, very interesting what God tells them to do in the year of Jubilee. Because in the Old Testament, there was very little written, so much was oral, that you passed it on by stories and telling people what to do. So there are some aspects of this passage that God brings out that portray what God was doing in their lives, in the life of the nation of Israel, and in our lives today. First of all, he said, I want you to observe the seventh day of the week, the seventh year, and the 50th year. I want you to celebrate that. But in the 50th year, there are several other things that I want you to observe. The first thing I want you to know is that every man is to be given his property back. You see, when Israel came into the promised land land was divided up into 12 tribes, right? Gad, Asher, Benjamin, Judah, Levi, so on. Now, the land was divided up into the tribes and then divided up into the families of the tribe. But if during the 49 years a family had a crisis or they were in financial problem, then what they would do, they would give themselves or the produce from the land, sell the produce from the land to another owner. So then it would be their property, their land, their produce. And God says, that's what's going to happen. But in the 50th year, everybody is to get their possessions back. Everybody is to get the property that is theirs back. You can't keep it infinitum ad nauseum. You can't. You have to give it back to the individuals. In other words, God is talking about how He redeems us. And He's saying, I'm going to provide for you. So the first thing is that every man is to be given his land back. The second thing is that everybody is to, if they have a hired hand or a slave, they are to be set free. You cannot, in the year of Jubilee, continue to keep a person in slavery. When my wife and I were in Pakistan visiting our missionaries there a few years ago, very interesting place, Pakistan. I said to Rod and Donna Black as we were driving down the freeway, I said, well, at least there's all these people who seem very poor are working in the fields. He said to me, Bruce, do you know that those workers in the field will never get out of the field? Because those workers have been sold to the owners. And the debt that they owed was passed on from their children to their children to their children's children, and children's children's children. Never get out of debt. Can you imagine that? And so, when they are born into that family, that child is owned by the owner. They are hired slaves for life. And God says, not in my economy. Not in my economy. What you have to do, you have to free everybody in the year of Jubilee. Because that is how God works with us. All the debts are paid. So the instructions come to Israel as to what they are supposed to do. So why the instructions? Because God wants them to celebrate. He wants them to celebrate His goodness. He wants them to celebrate His... I keep on rubbing it, don't I? Is there somewhere to... There, try that. His mercy. He wants them to celebrate His love. He wants them to celebrate the fact that He forgives their sins and gives them eternal life. And so for those 2 years, He wants them to look back at what God had done for them and then also to trust God to provide for them in that 2 year period. Isn't that great? Now I'm totally dependent upon the Lord. How many of you would like to quit work now and spend the next 2 years? Yeah. I was thinking as I was working on this passage, I thought it would be nice in the year of Jubilee. This is our 150th anniversary if all the banks were to forgive all our mortgages. Not going to happen. Do you know the sad part of this passage? It is never ever recorded that the Israelites celebrated a Jubilee. I looked in Kylie Dillich, Spurgeon, and others, and nowhere does it say that they celebrated Jubilee. What happens, we become so comfortable in what we're doing. And we enjoy the lifestyle that we have, that to give it up for 2 years is so difficult. So why celebrate? I think there are three reasons why we all need to celebrate. And why you need to celebrate 100 years, 110, and so on, significant years. Number one. You thought we were never going to get there, didn't you? Is that if the past means anything to us, we need to celebrate. If the past means anything to us, then we need to celebrate. So what has 110 years meant to you? To this congregation? There's scrapbooks back here and so on with pictures, et cetera, et cetera. This site was not the site of the first church building. Somebody correct me if I'm wrong. It was? Okay, then it was a small building and another one was built. And I didn't walk through the back. The steps to the old building are still over there underneath the kitchen area. Yeah, I knew you'd know. And it was just a little hall. And then Elmer Fair and the men in this congregation added on the second section. Bob, you were here. Who else? John? How old are you, John? Yeah, you were around. Yeah. And they put the, if those who are here, if they remember, they put the trusses, help me out if I'm wrong, Bob. They put the trusses on, it was snowing like crazy. See? And the men were up there, the snow was blowing, and they were getting the trusses up all across there. You look back at our history. And you think what we have done, and sometimes crazy things that we've done. And then when it got accomplished, you say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you've done. And I remember the year we had a ton of snow, and a whole bunch of us got up on the roof, and we took the snow off the roof in chunks, and I don't know if somebody had a spade up there or had it in for me, but they put a hole in the roof and drip, drip, drip right behind the pulpit. I said, we believe in immersion, and I think this is sprinkling. We had a lot of water up there that we had to fix. You know, I look back upon the past in my years anyways, and Doug Harris, John Moore, Ian Bowie, week-long evangelistic crusades, and the number of people who came to the Lord. Ian Bowie, there were 17 young people that came to the Lord the week that he was here. And 12 of them, I believe it was, went to Bible school, college. That's what it's about. That's our history. That's what we rejoice in. That's what we reflect upon. And we go back 110 years and say, God was at work. He's on the throne. He's saving lives. And He's using His people to do so. And so if the past means anything to us, then don't just let it slip by. Celebrate! Blow the trumpet. That's what Leviticus 25 says. Blow the trumpet! People say, I don't like the trumpet. It's too loud. But that's what it's like. Shout unto the Lord. The second reason. What time do you finish here? 5 minutes? That's the trouble having two services, you know. The second reason why we need to celebrate is that if the present, where we are today, means anything to us, then we need to reaffirm who we are, what we believe, and who we serve. If the past means nothing to us, forget it. Don't celebrate. If the past means something to us, let's get together, blow the trumpet, enjoy the day together. And then if the present, where we are today, means anything to us, then we need to reaffirm who we are. And that's what God is saying in Leviticus chapter 25. He is saying, I want you to reflect back what I have done, how I have brought you out of Egypt. First of all, how I brought Abraham down and gave him the land and told him that the people would be as the sand of the sea and the stars of the skies. That will be your nation. He said, tell your children. Don't let them forget the things that I have done for you. And we need to come back and say, we reaffirm who we are. We reaffirm that we believe in the person of Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and Savior. He is the one who saves us from our sin. He is the one who died on the cross at Calvary, shed His own precious blood, was buried and rose again. And He is going to come again. And we reaffirm that this is what we believe. We need to reaffirm that we believe that this is the inerrant, infallible Word of God. It is not just a historical document. First Peter says, these words are God-breathed, given to us by the Holy Spirit. And we'll continue to believe that this is a book that Jesus, that God has given to us for life and for eternity. Do you know that in 1927, this church took a stand? There was a crisis in McMaster University where all the pastors came from. And the president of, at that time, our denomination said, I no longer believe in the plenary verbal inspiration of the Word of God. I no longer believe in the virgin birth and the miracles. That was the president of the denomination that we were a part of. First Baptist Armstrong, First Baptist Salmon Arm, First Baptist Kamloops says, we won't tolerate it. And so they left. And we formed what we call the Regular Baptists of British Columbia. Today it is a fellowship. Fellowship Pacific. But you go back through your history and you look at it, and we need to reaffirm that this is a book that I believe in and I hold dear. That's why you celebrate. You reaffirm the local church that this is where I need to come for instruction, for communion with one another, to grow in knowledge and understanding of who Jesus Christ is. And we need to reaffirm our love for our people, for our community, for our country. So, why celebrate? Celebrate if the past means something to you. Celebrate if the present, you want to reaffirm again who you are. Thirdly, you need to celebrate if the future holds anything for you. What are you looking at? What is your vision? Steve, you stood up here, I believe, was it in March, and shared a new vision that you have? Last November? How long ago was it? I was here. Oh, you've done it. Okay. I was here one of those times. And it's good. It's good to hear that this is where we're going. We constantly need to set new goals for ourselves. Sometimes we think, okay, in a building program, finish the building, okay, we're done. No. The finish line is also a starting line. And you establish new goals of what you want to do in the future. It was great to hear what you're doing in regards to Church in the Park next Sunday. Great. I think that's lovely. We did that in Kamloops. Just making sure that our community knows that we are here, what we stand for, and that they're welcome. But we can't... That was my phone. You know, when I married my wife, she was so quiet, nobody would have known. We really do need to connect with our community. There was a time, and during my time here, as I said, we had Harris and Bowie and all these others come in, do evangelistic crusades. That's not the avenue anymore. It doesn't work. And so we have to find ways that we can reach into our community. 3 weeks ago, my wife and I were in Ladysmith, Ocean View Church. And what we did there is that the eggplant, came to the pastor and said, I've got 2,000 eggs. Would you like them? Isn't that interesting? I've got 2,000 eggs. Do you want them? And he said, yeah, I'll take them. And so Sunday morning, they don't have a church service. They did, this is the fourth time they've done this. And I stood beside the mayor on one side, the fire chief, principal of a school, and myself. And we were making omelets for the community. And the community comes and just gives a donation and has an omelet, coffee, and so on and so forth. And I don't know how many people were there, but they were lined up getting omelets. And somebody said, oh, yeah, the church is just making money. And they said, no. All of this money is going back into the community to build a park for kids. The mayor and the council sent a letter to our pastor there and says, we cannot express enough your involvement and care and compassion for our community. He was actually invited to light the tree at Christmas time because of his involvement in the community. We have to look at how does God want us to penetrate our community. We can't do evangelism like we used to. What are our goals? How are we going to accomplish them? You have your Bethlehem walk, and I'm sure there's other things that you do. But you have to say, okay, we have a future. And I believe you do. Then let's celebrate it already. Why? Now unto Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all I could ever ask or even begin to imagine. That's our God. He wants to do it through us. We need to have our jubilees. We need to have our rest and reflections. But we also have to have our army going forth, reaching people who know not Him. Let's pray. Father, truly, Lord, You are the God of wonders. At times we are overwhelmed at what You do, and yet we should never be overwhelmed. Thank You for this congregation, for this church, for its longevity, for the work that has gone on, for the people who have been saved, for the missionaries that have gone out, for the missionaries that it has supported, for the people that they have come alongside of and cared for in their community. Encourage their hearts. Challenge them afresh. And may You instill in each one of them a wonderful, incredible hope for the future. We pray this in Jesus Christ, our Redeemer's name. Amen.
Thanks so much, Bruce, for your message this morning to celebrate. And one thing that came to my mind as you're up here, next week we have VBS here. So we have a lot of kids coming in here. Pray for the leaders, for the children that are coming here. It's going to be a great way to, again, reach out and celebrate that. We've got a great children's ministry here. Celebrate that. Pray for them. Pray for those that are going to be serving next week. We've got a celebration happening in the gym from cake, coffee. Please join us. You're dismissed. God bless.